Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Songs to My Killer by Wisdom in Chains. That's off of their 2015 album, The God Rhythm. You can find that wherever you find things. Do the research, find it yourself, look it up, buy it, stream it, do whatever. I've spoken about it many times before, and I speak about it a little bit on this episode. Wisdom in Chains is my favorite hardcore band of all time. So I wanted to play a song for you from them just because. Because I felt like it, man. Because I like this song. I like what it's about. I like what it means. Whether that means what I think it means or not, I think it does. But who knows? A lot's left up to interpretation. But I believe this one has been clarified in the past. And I respect it and enjoy it. I hope you do as well. I also hope you realize where you're at and you know what you're doing. You realize you're listening to Getting It Out podcast, and you know already because you clicked on the damn thing that this episode is with Ryan Young of Off With Their Heads, another one of my favorite bands. If I had to list like my favorite bands of the 2000s, let's say this century, these two would be part of that list. These two would be, I'm going to say top five of my favorite bands of this century. Anyway, I had a nice and fun chat with Ryan. We covered a lot of things off with their heads and a lot of things National Basketball Association. So what's better than that? Rock and roll and basketball, my two favorite things. And it was another lunchtime chat. I got to come up with a nice little phrase for these things. They have become my favorite way to do interviews. Just do them on my lunch break. They don't go too long at all. Kind of get right to the point and kind of forget to talk about a lot of things. And in some ways, that's good. Not beating down the same old doors again. But maybe we did that. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have to find out. But first, you're going to have to go to the hot zone, baby.
Chicken! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out?
I am very happy to officially report I am not dying. I don't have cancer. I don't have cirrhosis of the liver. I don't have any deadly ailments. Because last week I thought I did. Last week I was pretty positive. I was on my deathbed. I was walking around doing everything else I normally do. But in my head, I was like, I'm 100% going to die very soon. Because I'm weird like that. And I had a little pain in my side. In my abdomen, in my upper right abdomen. And I stayed away from Google for a couple of days because I know what happens when you do it. I know what happens when you Google, what's this pain I got? You die. And I did, and I died. Progressively, I started to die as I was reading things. I was all sorts of cancer riddled and cirrhosis. And then finally, I couldn't keep it a secret anymore because I had to keep it all in. Right? Can't reveal any of this to anybody because I don't know why. It's just what we do usually as men, right? So I kept it all in, kept quiet about it. And I was just so uncomfortable and so full of anxiety about it. I finally said something to my wife on Friday after spending like 8 hours sitting at a desk and then 4 to 5 hours in a car and my side was just fucking killing me. And I finally was like, hey, I got to tell you, I feel like I'm dying and I'm concerned as hell. And then all it took was me calling the doctor the next day. And the doctor was like, yeah, that's not what's happening. You just have like, something's wrong with your muscles. It's a muscle strain. Do you work out? It's like, yeah. She's like, well, that was probably it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I didn't want to believe her. I was like, no, I don't think you understand. I've Googled this. I'm dying right now. And she did a couple things. One was ensure me that I don't drink enough to have liver problems, which might have been a bad idea on her part. Might have been a bad idea because now she says I can have 14 drinks a week. That's what we're allowed to do as men, apparently. 14 drinks a week. Hey, I don't think I was hitting that mark before. I think I need to notch it up a little bit. I was only doing maybe 2 to 3 beers each time I drank. I wasn't drinking 7 days a week. So, I mean, I got some room. There's a whole lot of room for activities. It's like I just got bunk beds in my organs. There's room for more, baby. Let's dump it down. I don't think I will, though. Since I scared myself, I haven't been drinking nearly at all. I think I've had like 4 beers over the last week and a half. One of those was at a King Buffalo show the other night. Have you ever listened to King Buffalo? I feel like I've talked about them on here before. And if I haven't, I should talk about them more. That band is so damn good. Finally caught them live. It was a sold out show here in Lancaster at Telus 360. By the way, Off With Their Heads will be playing at Telus 360 here in Lancaster very soon, too. Well, May, so it's not very soon. But anyway. I'm not dying. I'm allowed to drink more. It's actually, this pain was good. It was a good thing to deal with for a week. Yeah, I don't know. It's just shitty how stupid I am. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. And if I am, that's fine too. But I just get these thoughts like that seep in and like on Monday, it's not a big deal. But by Friday, it's literally the only thing I was thinking about. From the moment my eyes opened to the moment they shut at night, it was on my mind 100% of the time. And that gets exhausting. And even when I would wake up at night to like piss or something, it'd be like, oh my God, I forgot I'm going to die. But here I sit 1 week later, not dead. And I guess it could be like we could be in the eye of the storm. And next week this pain comes back and I do die again. But until then, let's party, man. 14 drinks a week. That's a permission slip. Let's go crazy. Speaking of going crazy, the Philadelphia 76ers superstar Mac McClung won the slam dunk championship over the weekend. Big championship for Philadelphia. You know, after losing the World Series and the Super Bowl, we just needed a guy who's never played a minute for the 76ers to win a basketball championship of sorts. And it happened. That's all we needed. Now we're all validated, and we, me, I, us, Philadelphia, I don't even live there. We're doing well. All right. I guess that's all I can report on sports because it is the All-Star break. Football is done. Hockey exists. Baseball is going to start soon, which is dumb. But I do like the rules that they've implemented this year for baseball. I'm not going to watch it. No way in hell. But the pitch count, the pitch clock, what are they calling it? That's a good idea. And if you're a baseball person, like, what? No, it's not. Like, hey, man, every other fucking sport has it. Okay. It's the shot clock in basketball. It's the play clock in football. Hockey doesn't need one. Soccer doesn't need one. You, baseball, hasn't been good since it was in black and white. You need one. It's boring as hell. That's not true. I'm just being dramatic. But I like the new rules. Pitch clock. Perfect. Still not watching, but I love it. Back to other things I love. Off with their heads and not dying. Before I get to my conversation with Ryan about Off With Their Heads and a little bit about not dying, let's play a song from Off With Their Heads. And I think it's fitting that we play the song, You Will Die. It's actually funny that you say that you're in Baltimore right now, because when I was living in Baltimore is probably when I became like really into Off With Their Heads. And I bet you hear this type of shit a lot. And I'm sure it must be, I don't know. I'd imagine it's got to be just kind of exhausting. That, like, when I became obsessed is a strong word, but when I got really into your music was like my lowest, deepest, most depressed time. And I was living in that city. And for some reason, what you do with Off With Their Heads really spoke to me and really got me interested in what you're doing. I've been following ever since. And in a way, I say thank you for that.
Right on. Thanks. Well, I mean, that sucks. That's a lot of people do say stuff like that. And I've learned to look at it in a way of, like, it used to make me kind of uncomfortable, but now
sure.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, if it helps, then I guess I've done something cool. But I do the Garth from Wayne's World thing where I'm like, thank you.
right. Yeah, I can't imagine
the stock response to it so that I don't get awkward and weird. But yeah, it's really cool to hear that.
I know this from talking to other people, because doing this, right, that having people come up to you and tell you how much your music means to them is, it can be awkward as fuck. And, you know, like you said, it's just kind of, you got to give a stock response, because when, you know, what are you going to say after so long?
It's genuine, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't take compliments well, you know?
right.
Well, I'd rather people come up and say that than, you know, nobody give a shit at all. So, like, that's a massive difference.
that's true. That's true. And that's awesome. But it must be a little bit strange to resonate some, but also very cool. Anyway, I also didn't want to go very far without acknowledging that a couple of days ago, you had the privilege of meeting one of my idols, Franklin.
Yeah, he was a dick. Are you in Philly?
No, but I'm in Lancaster, which is, and my daughter lives in Philly, so I'm in Philly every Sunday dropping her off. But yeah,
cool.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, this is my normal attire with the Sixers.
I see. No, I love Lancaster too. I don't know. I was just like searching through when Kyle and I tour. We like to go to NBA games in any city where they happen to be going when we have a day off. Or I remember one time in San Antonio, we just like did a sound check, then hopped in a Lyft and went over, saw the Spurs game, but had to come back to catch our set like third quarter.
That's fucking awesome.
It's just something to do that like both of us are interested in. And it's super fun to see different stadiums and stuff like that. So we did that, for the Sixers game. And I've always been curious about going to a Sixers game, because you people have the reputation of just being animals. And like booing your own team is a big one. Like,
oh yeah, no, it's everybody should boo your own team. Nobody should hate your own team as much as you hate your own team.
You have a very, very like high expectation of them. And I like that. But yeah, like we did hear a couple of really choice things yelled out behind us that were making us laugh. We're just like, okay, there it is. Finally, we got what we came for.
And that's funny too, because I watched that game yesterday morning. I watch all the games, even if I miss them, I watch them in the morning before I go to work. And they pretty much coasted in that game, but I'm sure there was some negative shit to say.
Oh yeah. Yeah. there was the, what do you get? Free Chick-fil-A in that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Stadium. Man,
I saw they almost got it from Jalen Green.
Cause Boban was in the very end of it. And people were like, come on, Bobby Chicken. And he heard him and he made it. And he just looks at us and goes, sorry.
Well, Boban's awesome, cause he's been a Sixer. He was there with Toby. So we had the Toby and Bobby experience together. So he gets it, but it used to be Frosties. You used to get Frosties when they missed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this year it's chicken. And this year the only game I went to this year was against the Bucks. So Giannis kept fucking missing free throws. It was the ladder game, if you're familiar with
the ladder game.
Yeah, it was.
That's funny.
It was,
you were at that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the ladder thing was after we left, but yeah, that's why he was shooting free throws, because everybody kept winning chicken nuggets off him. You know, we were up to like a 24 pack.
That's hilarious.
Which is just a great way to fucking boo somebody and, you know, try to get.
Oh man, the place never gets louder than when people are about to get free shit. It's the best.
That's right. Well, I think it's very cool that you're into basketball. I'm a big basketball fan. I got my little Charles Barkley Space Jam guy right here. I got, you know, it's all my life has been punk rock, hardcore, metal, and basketball, right? Which I know is not, it's like a weird, like frowned upon thing. Like you're not supposed to be able to like sports. And
Well, I used to play, so like that was my first trajectory, but I just hated everybody. So I obviously fell more into the punk and hardcore thing.
Well, same so with me. Yeah.
We rediscovered it and I'm like, okay, now it's fun again. So
what was first for you, sports or basketball or
it was rock? Basketball. When I was like a really young kid, but like, I don't, it's that anti-authority thing. I don't like having a coach screaming at me. And I mean, I played hockey too and got kicked off the team for throwing a kid over the boards, like on my team. Because he said, right.
I get it. That's, I have a similar, I guess, I mean, it makes sense in the punk rock, hardcore and sports. You're going to have similar attitude. I had the same type of issues. I played basketball until I graduated, but I was not my coach's favorite. And
yeah,
I got thrown out of a couple games for maybe some incidents, but you know, that,
yeah,
that's the way it was.
I was just more led towards the independence of music. You can be really your own boss in that one, which appealed to me.
Right. All right. Well, you started the band. I don't know when exactly. And I started listening. I don't know when exactly, but like I said, I've been listening for a long time now. You're easily one of my favorite bands. Typically what I do on here is talk to like mostly hardcore and death metal bands, you know, but like, really? but I always want to make an exception for Off With Their Heads for what you're doing, because I seriously listen to it so much and really have, it's one of those things that stuck with me for many years now. I've caught you a few times. I'll be here when you come back through with the home tour. But I know right now you guys are out doing these wandering duo tours. How did that come about?
Basically, we just got rid of our booking agent. And not because of any bad blood things, but like, I just like, there's 20 years of doing this. I just want to do my own shit. Like I do everything now. Like I booked all 6 months of these tours myself, just from 20 years of doing this. And Kyle and I like to keep things new and I don't know, just do different shit to stay interested in it. So I was like, well, let me get a fucking baritone guitar, tune it down to the lowest setting it can, which is like drop A. Yeah. And let's do like heavy versions of these songs. And that's what we're doing. It's just like a duo thing of like bordering on like metal sounding versions of Off Their Head songs. And I've never had more fun. So that's what we're doing. It's just him and I driving around like having a fucking blast. It's the best.
That's all. And I've heard you talk about this on your podcast, Anxious and Angry, and the stuff that you guys are doing and how much you're enjoying it. Is there any, and I haven't seen one of these duo tours, I have seen, of course, full band, but is there a recording that what you're playing live closely resembles?
No. That's the funny, like nobody does the dumb shit that we do where we just get an idea and we're like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's hit the road. It's just from like, I book shows through friends. It's all just friends. And I'm like, hey, I got an idea. You want to do a show? And they're always like, yeah, it's easy. People just show up from out of the woodwork to come do the things. Cause people have a good connection to us through that podcast. And like you said, like something about the lyrics, like it's not a lot of people, but the people that like it really like it. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool. We have like a really direct connection with people. So we're afforded the ability to do this cool shit that most bands either wouldn't want to or have the time to do, where it's just like, I don't know, this is the only thing that makes me fucking happy. So like, let's go out and do it. And and it's pretty fucking fun, man. I don't know. I'm finally in a good place with this stupid band.
Well, is this band as Anxious and Angry and the distro and everything you do there? Is this all you're doing now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all I've really ever done too, which is crazy.
You don't have to work. I mean, work, you know, you don't have a traditional job or anything. You just get to do this.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
I mean, I have a screen printing shop, like a whole warehouse below me that's like mine. We do things for, you know, local businesses, charities, shit like that. But like, it's all, if I had a job, I'd probably work less.
right. I get you. That's great. I think that's like, you know, it seems like you're truly getting to do what you want to do.
And, oh yeah.
That says a lot. I mean, it's especially says a lot coming from a guy who writes such miserable music, you know?
Misery is the status quo around here. It's like, might as well just be busy.
That's right. You're on this tour for not too much longer, right? A couple more weeks, maybe?
for this second leg of it. Yeah. Then there's a whole other West Coast thing. So we're basically on tour the entire first 6 months of the year.
Then yeah. Well, I noticed you threw that home tour. That's the one that caught my, that's where I got the press release from. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. That record, of course, that's the one I think that's the one I came. It might've been In Desolation, but definitely Home. It's a 10-year anniversary, right?
Yep.
Have you done any types of these tours for any of the other previous records?
No, not really. Like I don't really know why. I think it was this one. It was just so fucking weird that it's 10 years old. It just doesn't seem like it, I guess. Cause just so much has happened since then that it just kind of flew by so fast. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was just like kind of a thing where it was like, people like that record. Let's make a big fucking deal out of it. Why not? You know, Epitaph's giving me like my own color, vinyl color for it. And it's like, cool. Yeah. Let's go on tour and do this. It'll be fun. And that's literally it. It's like, I know that people like this one. So
right. Fuck it.
Let's see if I can drudge up some enjoyment to these stupid songs.
is playing stuff like that, do you have any shitty connections that you don't like for some reason you wouldn't like playing the songs?
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also have learned how to put that aside and look at how much other people like enjoy this. You know what I mean? Right. Like we change every time you see the band, we basically do something different. Like we rewrite these songs a lot. So the live thing will never quite be the same as the record. And that's our way of staying interested in it. But I don't know. I've gotten over myself where I'm just like, some of those lyrics, I'm just like, God damn it. So dumb. Cause I always write everything right before I record it.
Yeah.
So it's not like this long thought out thing. It's just very reactionary to that moment. So for better or worse, sometimes I'm like, I could have done better on that one. Dipshit. But I mean, that's another thing that I'll do too, is I'll update my lyrics throughout time just to appease myself and not feel like such a clown.
Well, that's, I know all about the writing lyrics and then listening to the songs later. There's one 7-inch of my band out there, that old band out there, that Baltimore hardcore band, that, you know, like I hear some of the lyrics on that shit and it's like, God damn, like I put that like out there. It's out there forever. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean then.
Sure.
But if you can disconnect yourself from that and be like, fuck it. If anyone wants to sing along to this, that's cool. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, and I got to imagine that one's going to go over well. I think a lot of people reference that as at least the jumping off point for them in your band. I've been trying to go through some of your older stuff recently. And, you know, it's funny, just earlier today while I was sitting at work, I was like, I don't think I've ever listened to this live record you released in the last year or two, or whatever that was. And I'd like to comment on that. That's what word would I use? Unbelievable? Or unreal performance on that one? is that how we describe that?
Okay, so that whole thing, the back is a picture of that show, which is just this massive sea of people in Germany. But what it really is a Lamb of God show that Randy from Lamb of God gave to me because he knew what I was up to. Yeah. But that entire live record was just us recording our own parts during the pandemic. And then we had my friend add in like soccer stadium level noise. And he took it to the next level and had people like clapping to the
beat. At that part. Yeah.
Yeah. So the funniest part is it's not only like, I mean, obviously not a live record, but we weren't even recording it together. It's like Kyle went in, I had a set list and he just like played the whole song. So like we added in a fake fight.
Yeah.
There's just so much stupid shit about that. And we thought it was so obviously fake, right?
Right.
When we put it out, people were like, this just makes me miss live music. So we're like, is this unethical? So we never said anything about it. But now I'm just like, it's funny. Whatever.
No, it is funny. And I think I didn't listen to it because I was like, I don't want to listen to a fucking live record. And then today I put it on. I was like, holy shit. I will re-listen to this because this is hilarious.
Well, you know? Especially if you know it's fake and all the shit that I say, like, it's just me in my practice space, like talking to myself, not even an engineer, just me.
it's pretty incredible. I'm a big fan of it now, you know, and like you said, the live, well, yeah, I think you kind of make it obvious with some of your comments in there, but yeah, you know, pretty, if people can't figure it out, that's
over the top ham fisted stupid shit.
Right. Well, you guys are doing this duo tour and then that home tour, I got to assume is full band, right?
Yep.
You've gotten pretty comfortable, it sounds like, doing these duo tours. Any apprehension about getting back out there with full band?
Not really. We were kind of like making fun of Kevin, our bass player, where he actually works at my shop when we're on tour. So the bass player of the band is stuck home working while we're doing this shit. And then he's going to come with. And I was like, I don't know, Kevin, we got really good with just the two of us. You'll be able to hop in and not fuck everything up.
High pressure.
Poor old Kevin. I don't think we're going to have much. We know these songs so well, and we're all really, really close friends. So like it's pretty seamless transition into whatever, even on the fly. We don't even really practice. If we have an idea or something we need to do, then we will. But other than that, like, we haven't really given much thought into how much different it's going to be. It's essentially the same. Everyone follows my lead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. I was trying to think of a way to, when I was going to talk to you, I think it was last week, it was the NBA trade deadline around then. And Kyrie Irving had just been traded to the Mavericks. And it made me think that maybe you'd be good for this question. If there was a Kyrie Irving-esque musician that's perfect for Off With Their Heads, that could write the songs, that could play the tunes, but you know you're going to get all the Kyrie Irving-esque-esh drama, would you be able to put them in Off With Their Heads? No, would you risk the reward?
Never. Not especially after this duo shit that's actually fun. Never. I don't even want to bring a merch person anymore. So if chewing with your mouth open, fucking die. No, I can't. I don't know how those guys deal with shit like that. Like the different personalities of being in a band. Like, I know, because I'm one and I must be terrible to get along with. But it has got to be so difficult for a team of what, 15 people plus coach and staff to tolerate that kind of shit. Oh man. Now jam all that in a van. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that most bands don't last 20 years. Well, basically I'm the only one left out of 20 years anyway. So
I guess you've gone through quite a few members, but I think, you know, fair or not, when people think of the band, they think of you, which is, you know, is common.
Well, what I started it as was my solo thing. Like it was just like, this band is my band. You can be in it as long as you want, but I'm not going to stop. Because right. I'm going to just write the same shit. So, and it was always brought up to everybody as that, like when they joined till when they quit. So
yeah.
It's just my little loophole of not having to start a new band.
No, that's good. I like it. But although you've been around for a long time and it's made it a pain in the ass to try to get all of your records, but recently you've been, re-releasing or reissuing some stuff. I know you got the From the Bottom. Is that out? Maybe that's shipping already, but I saw.
Yeah, no, that just that came on a pallet the day I left. So those are all shipping out now. We got a couple. We got a bunch with us too for this run. I've got the first record we did, that Hospitals one. Mm-hmm. That's out, and now this collection that came out after From the Bottom, that's also on its way next month too. So this year I've just got like everything that I own back in print, which is awesome.
Is there anything left out there that you need to, you're trying to get ownership of?
No, not really. At the Epitaph stuff, they're great, man. Like I have nothing bad to say about them. They've always, I don't know. Brett has always just been so cool to me. Mm-hmm. People always bitch about labels, but like he's the one person who's like literally just helped me And it's been great. So
that's awesome. Are you currently still on Epitaph? I know Be Good was Epitaph, but
our contract is done. We were doing 3 records with them, but he told me, he's like, if you want, I got you for life.
You're in the player option. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just kind of like, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I write a record every 6 years. So
yeah, well, I guess that goes to the next question. Be Good was 2019, maybe?
Yeah.
Is there a new one in process?
No. Nah, it's life's busy, man, when you're trying to fucking run all these businesses. And Kyle is, you know, he just graduated, got his master's degree. Like we're all doing other things, and we try and make sure this is like the one creative outlet that we all have, but life takes precedence over fucking around screaming in a microphone sometimes, but not this year.
No. Well, to go off of that a little bit, what part, is there a part that you enjoy more, the touring, the performing, the writing, the operations? I don't know.
I think I like touring the most. Like there's something about the schedule of it where it's just like we have a fucking pizza party every night in our room, basically, where we just fucking laugh about all the lunatics that come up and say wild shit to us. We're sort of trying to learn how to do this without being such fucking drunk idiots, but
yeah, I'm trying to do that with regular everyday life.
Right. So, yeah.
I get. Yeah.
But like, we're kind of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're not failing at it, but I'll just say we have a lot of fun the nights that we cut loose. they're just a little less than they used to be, but it's definitely my favorite is traveling around. Like there's nothing better than just playing a good show and like connecting with a community and realizing like, holy shit, we can go to this little mountain town in West Virginia and people are there screaming along. It's wild. You just never would have thought that growing up on a pig farm in Minnesota, you know?
I can't imagine life in Minnesota or really anywhere outside of Pennsylvania or Baltimore. But everybody always talks about the similarities between like the middle state of Pennsylvania and like literally everywhere else in the country, you know? So, but that really has nothing to do with my next question. My next question is just like, where do you find, or do you have a favorite place to play, favorite areas to play, like where you know it's always going to be a good show?
You know, we bitch about everything, so I can't really.
What do you hate the most then? Give me the worst one.
Oh, God, no, that's a better question. Kyle hates California, which I love about that. Like, just does not want to go there ever and openly talk shit about it, which is funny.
That is funny.
On my Spotify thing, I try and troll California as much as I can, but I have a Spotify playlist that says good songs from bands from California, and there's no songs on it.
That's very funny.
Which nobody really gets the joke, but and it's obviously not true. There's a lot of good music there.
Yeah, but no, double down on it. Of course, I'm with you on that type of shit. You just.
But I don't know. My favorite place that I've ever played is Australia. Mm-hmm. Australia is just, what a weird, wild world to get to go to. And I've been there, I think, 4 times. And it's just, those people are awesome. They're nuts. They're funny as shit. Like they're
on purpose or.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're just the way they talk is just like, they have like a different language. That's the same language. And it's just really funny. Like I can't even describe it, but if anyone's been to Australia, you understand what I'm talking about, but they're seemingly pretty good. You know how like people in Philly are like good people, but they're also like the worst people on the pieces planet.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because it's the same with people in Baltimore.
It's the same thing with Australia.
Yeah.
There's like this weird quirkiness about it where I don't know. You just sort of know what you're getting. By the way, City of Brotherly Love, does that mean like I'm going to kick the shit out of you, but I still care about you? Is that what that saying means?
I think it could. I mean, you can interpret it any way you
want. I just had like an epiphany when I saw that at the game. I was like, fuck, that makes more sense now.
That's right. Well, I speaking of that, I got to ask you, because you were there on Monday, the day after my favorite football team lost the Super Bowl. Was there any remnants of that? Was
nothing. We were so bummed. We were just like, first off, I was actually rooting for the Eagles on that one. And I was kind of shocked they lost, but we were just kind of like, is there going to be a Philadelphia when we get there?
I saw some people talking about riots, but let me tell you, I was in Philly on Broad Street when they won the other one, the last one they were in, the only one.
Yeah.
And, it was great. It was the fucking one of the most fun nights of my life, you know, to be in the city when they won the Super Bowl, run the streets, you know, it was packed. You see all sorts of pictures, but rioting, there might've been a car on fire too, but like it was pretty isolated, you know, so for the win. So I wasn't expecting much, but I was still a little hopeful that there would be some type of rage. Yeah, you know?
The whole grease in the polls thing is so
that's fucking awesome.
So funny.
Have you seen the cops out there with not in person, but like videos of the cops out there where they go out there with rollers and they literally
There's videos of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They physically grease the poles. Yeah. It's funny. It doesn't work, but it seems like a waste of grease, but I don't know what else you use grease for.
I bet.
All right. Well, you guys got this tour. This one goes till March 18th. You said there's a third leg of it. And then in May, you kick off the home 10-year anniversary tour, which we already talked about a little bit. It seems like it was kind of an obvious choice to go and do that. I want to talk to you a little bit about Anxious and Angry, the podcast. You started doing that like before people started doing podcasts regularly, like, and now there's 3 million of them. Feel like you were kind of the one in on the ground floor on that?
I wouldn't say that, but like, I was a big fan of like, you know, what the fuck Mark Maron's thing.
Yeah.
Just from touring around and like getting sick of music and like just listening to that kind of thing. And I was like, well, this would be kind of cool on a really tiny level of like all of my friends and keep it focused on like, you wouldn't believe it, but this guy's a lunatic too, you know, like that kind of shit and talk about that. I mean, my first episode I think was fucking, well, it was Nathan from Boys That's Fire, but close after that was,
Corpse Grinder, right?
Corpse Grinder, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a crazy guest to have for a brand new podcast. And he only did it because we're one of his favorite bands. I think it's awesome.
That is awesome.
It plays so well into like growing up in Minneapolis of how like we don't listen to a lot of the shit we get lumped into. We like metal and hardcore.
Right.
hip-hop. Like almost none of the pop punk shit at all. It's weird. So it's just like a lot of the bands that get added to these shows, like they're talking to us about shit. We have no idea what they're talking about. Like,
right.
Dude, no. Like,
what is that? Does that distinction that Off With Their Heads get as pop punk annoy you? Cause it annoys me.
Absolutely.
I don't hear it. I don't know what, like, I will tell you and anybody that listens to me that I do not like pop punk. I can't stand it. And I hate even saying I don't like something, but I don't like it. But I love Off With Their Heads. And to me, that's nothing like pop punk.
I get what you're saying though, where it's just like, I don't want to talk shit about people's music or whatever they like. Right. Like that's fine. Not publicly at least.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't like it at all. And like, I don't say that I hate playing with bands like that because I don't really care. It's like if they're cool, they're cool. I don't give a shit. But like, right. it, it when we play shows with like good hardcore bands or like even just anything heavier, we're like, fuck yeah, all right, I'm actually engaged in this show, yeah, not listening to like something that I have no connection to whatsoever. So I was arguing with someone about this. They're like, no, you're a pop punk band. I'm like, what? Come on, man. I don't know what it is, but like a lot of the metal guys or the hardcore guys like hear what we're doing and they kind of get that, you know?
Yeah.
I wish, but I'm not trying to be anything. So it's just kind of like, all right, I guess if we're going to, whatever Taking Back Sunday is, sure, we'll do that.
Yeah, it's real similar. Exactly. Like similar sentiments, you know, just register and everything. Yeah. I don't know. I understand how people end up putting you there, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, like you said, whatever. It does. I don't know. I think maybe the lyrically is where you resonate so much with the hardcore and
yeah,
metal stuff. And also your vocal delivery is another big one.
Totally. But yeah, well, you're more likely to hear like, you know, cattle decapitation rolling out of our van windows than, you know, anything else pretty much.
Well, have you experimented or tried touring with metal and hardcore bands?
We toured with Municipal Waste and a band called Phobia once.
Grindcore.
Yeah. And
Shane, I mean, the Pain.
Yeah.
What Jesus. A name. He put out a new song last week.
Fucking lunatic. I loved it. But we had a blast. We all got along. It was like, but like, I remember just looking at this kid in the front row, arms crossed. And I just go, you are not enjoying yourself at all. And he goes, of course not. In the middle of our set. So like, but some people like, you know what I mean? That's what you get when you try and cross over into other things. It's like,
yeah.
I think I hated it at that point in my life, but now I'm like, really want to get back to that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't care. I'll play for people that hate us. It's kind of more fun.
Do you find the whole thing off with their heads in general, anxious and angry, whatever? Do you find the whole thing to be more fun now than it ever was?
Oh yeah. And I think it's because we know what we are. We're just this weird entity that floats through life. Just got to be like, whatever, who gives a shit? We're not trying to be anything. We're not. And like, there was a time, especially like 10 years ago, like finding myself at South by Southwest playing like fucking showcases for publicists and booking agents. And I'm just like, man, I don't want to fucking do this. I hate these people.
Right.
Like, I just don't care. Why am I here? And now we just don't do shit like that. We don't play music festivals because we don't like them.
Yeah.
I'd rather play the mountain town in West Virginia than the big festival with just a bunch of fucking bands I don't like. So it's just, we operate on our own little plane of existence, and I'm very stoked on that right now.
That's awesome. And I think I found that with talking to a lot of people is that it usually takes a band that's been around for a while, or people who've been around for a while, older guys, whatever, guys and gals that just, you know how to manage their expectations now, know exactly what it's going to be instead of some type of fucking weird thing you come up with in your head.
Totally. Like, we're supposed to be doing a split with Wisdom and Chains. You know
what Hell I mean? Yes. That is my favorite hardcore band of all time.
We haven't talked about it in like a year, but I'm just like, well, when we have songs, we'll do it. But it's just like, that's the kind of shit that I'm stoked on, where it's like, that'll be fun. That's you a know cool thing.
You know, what's really funny is that I know Joe, their singer, really likes you guys. And I've had him on here before, and I love Wisdom and Chains. I'm not exaggerating when I say they're actually my favorite hardcore band of all time.
I believe it.
Yeah. Awesome. I think when I also, this also gets me off on a tangent where I always say when I think you say a band is like your favorite of all time, it should include, like, it should be a band that you've been able to experience, that you've been able to be involved with, that you got their records and they came out. Like, to say my favorite hardcore band of all time is, I don't know, what's a band from the 80s that everybody loved? Leeway. Like, all right, I think Born to Expire is great, but whatever. I got to see him twice, and you know, so anyway, I love Wisdom and Chains. And it's funny that you say that, because I was thinking after talking to you, I should hit up Joe, because I know he likes you guys and I haven't had him on for a while. So that's very exciting for me to hear you are going to do that.
bring it up to him, see if he remembers, because I think I'm the slacker on that one, just because it takes me 2 years to write one song.
Well, they haven't put out anything in a long time either, so I think they've been on from hearing Richie, the guitarist, on other things, he tends to blame Joe, so maybe he's at fault too. So
good. All right, then we're kindred spirits like that.
That's right. It'll come out when it comes out, or it won't.
Exactly. You
know, whatever. The idea is exciting enough. All right, I'm going to let you go because I need to get back to work anyway. But I have to ask you one last basketball related question.
All right.
I think I've heard you explain this before, though. Do you consider yourself to be a Rockets fan? How does this work? Where does your allegiance? I don't know
where this came from. It's so funny where everyone was just like, someone wrote in on that podcast. It's like, how the fuck can you be a Rockets fan? I was like, when did I say that? I don't know. Kyle and I just like shitty teams, basically. And like, there's something about rooting for the worst of all the teams that makes me, there's something endearing about it. And the Rockets this year are like, it's not even that they're that shitty, because there's something about them that's like, they're going to be good.
They just can't play together.
They're young. Very young. And they have no guidance from a veteran or anything like that.
Well, they just got John Wall back for some reason. So.
He's definitely
the fucking weirdest trade I've ever seen.
Yeah. Especially after talking shit about that team to get traded back. What a bummer. Yeah, but no, I don't know. It could be the Rockets. It could be anything, but I've always liked the bad news bear of any sports team.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I hear that. That was the Sixers for a long time. But I was a floater before when I was younger, and in the 90s, I was a Charles Barkley guy. So I went wherever Barkley went. And then when Barkley retired as a Rocket, I was done. I stopped watching. I was also like when I got obsessed with like hardcore and all that stuff too. But then I came back in the process era of the Sixers before Embiid started playing. And that seemed like the right time because they suck. That was always my thing. Like, I don't want to get in on a team while they're good. I want to get in on them while they suck.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with them now. I'm not moving again, but yeah, that's it.
Well, good luck. I'd like to see them do better than they have been lately.
But it's constant. It'll never happen. I'm a Philadelphia fan, right? So I'm eternally pessimistic, but Embiid's going to have every right to ask out of that fucking team.
Yeah. You would think so.
Whenever he wants to, you know, not going to be able to hold it against him because he's done whatever he could. It's just his other fuckers that have been around to whatever. You're going to get fired up. I got to go back to work. All right, Ryan. Hey, thanks again for doing this. I appreciate this. I truly appreciate the music you put out there in the world. I listen to it all the fucking time. One of my favorite bands. Thank you for your time. I'll be seeing you when you're here in Lancaster.
All right. Yeah. Let's have a drink. All right.
I wanted to tell you. I wanted to share some important details that you're unaware of. I want you to listen. I want you to care. I'll choke to death if I don't clear the air. It's not a secret that I obsess, and then I get angry, and then I get stressed. And you can't imagine, and you can't compare. You have no frame of reference, and then you get scared. I'm doing my best to help make you see that it's not your fault when I beg and I plead. It's much easier just to go back to sleep, but we gotta find a place to start, because I'm falling apart. Stay in one place. I look in the mirror and I see the face of a failure who'll never be.
if I don't clear the air right now.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Ryan Young of Off With Their Heads. Thanks to him for indulging the basketball and rock and roll talk. That's how every podcast should go. I should just change the whole format. I've actually talked about doing that a lot in the past. I've never gone through with it. My man Ryan Rainbro at Meet Me Podcast has floated the idea of calling it Laying It Up, which is great. I love it, but I haven't done it. Anyway, the song you just heard was Clear the Air from In Desolation. It probably would have made sense to play a song from Home, the record we talked about the most in hindsight, but you know what? I didn't. So if you're wondering why I like that record so much, go check it out. Get it on LimeWire or Kazaa or wherever a virus will infect your computer. And then with your regret in mind, go buy a copy. I do believe Anxious and Angry, the store, has exclusive colored vinyl. I don't know. I think he mentioned it. You check it out. Go find it. Make sure you go to one of the tour dates. I do believe they're wrapping up the second leg of that Wandering Duo tour now. There's a third leg, as he mentioned. And then, of course, in May, the Home 10-year anniversary tour. I will be catching that in Lancaster, as mentioned. If you're going to be there, don't come up to me. I'm kidding. I don't care. I probably already know you, though, if you're going to be there. Anyway, I can't exaggerate enough how much I like this band. So it's really cool to get this one down. I really do believe, like, starting with In Desolation and then Home and then Be Good, the band is just on this great run of releasing high quality, awesome records. The stuff that I listen to like every time and I say out loud, like, I can't believe how good this is front to back. It's like what I like, and I don't get tired of it. It's like listening to Dag Nasty's Can I Say. I can just do it over and over and over again, and it doesn't bore me or make me annoyed like most things do. So I think that's super impressive. And if you're like, hey, Dan, you should check out Iron Sheik or, I don't know, Ladder Man or some shit that, like, stop it. I don't want to. All right. You know, like, I like this and that's all I want to like. It's nobody does it as good as they do. And it's the best there is. It's like the Bret Hart of this type of rock music, whatever you want to call it. Don't call it pop punk. We went over that. But I like it. But it's like when people tell me you should try this dip, like, man, I just like my chips the way they are. Please stop trying to get me to put it in that hummus. I don't like hummus. I like chips. Leave me alone. I don't want an onion dip. Are you crazy? That sucks. Just let me have my chip. Naked, plain chip. Whatever it is, whatever brand, whatever seasoning. I got it that way. I like it this way. Just stop trying to alter that. Stop trying to introduce me to something. All right? I understand that's what I basically do with this podcast all the time, is tell you to like this, like that, and the other thing. But I have the supreme taste here, okay? Off With Their Heads is the best of their brand. And you now agree with me. I'm sure I've had you all convinced. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get to the end of this episode of the podcast. And you know, we always got to do that by playing a song. And I've got a good one for you. At least I think it's pretty awesome. It's from Stoned Jesus. They're based out of Kiev, Ukraine. They're a psychedelic rock trio, if you want to call it that. The song is called Get What You Deserve, and it's off of their new album, Father Light, which will drop next week, March 3rd, on Season of Mist Records. It's a long song, and I don't care because I think it rocks. So I'm putting it here right at the end of the podcast. If you want to listen through to the whole thing, I highly encourage that. I also highly encourage you to go check out gettingitout.net for all your up-to-date information on things that rock and suck. I cover it all. That's it for this one. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.